Manx Radio's update with Andy Wint, powered by Manx Telecom.
Good evening, Pastor May. It's 5:30. This is Update from Manx Radio, a 30-minute look at the latest news on the Isle of Man, plus background to the news, Manx sport, business, Sea Watch and travel updates, plus the newsmakers in person, including tonight the National Insurance rebate row in Tynwald rumbles on. Douglas Council has 2,000 trees to give away. Isle of Man Beach Buddy's influence spreads right across the globe. Peel Lifeboats is leaving Peel for residents in Ramsey about now. And what is poverty on the Isle of Man?
And Benham Advocates for your legal needs.
First at 29 minutes to six, the news headlines. Pastor May, Ed Oldham.
Pastor May. A Tynwald motion next week is already generating some heat outside the court. Douglas East MHK Chris Robertshaw is proposing a national insurance rebate scheme for workers who earn below the living wage. Treasury Minister Alfred Cannon has called the idea absolute madness. Mr Robertshaw has hit back, accusing him of trying to scare Tynwald members and the public ahead of the debate. More on that, as Andy said, in the programme. From July next year, complaints against commissioners and councillors by members of the public could be investigated by an external body. The Council of Ministers has agreed to extend the powers of the Tynwald Ombudsman to cover local authorities. An RNLI lifeboat will leave Peel Harbour for the last time this evening after 27 years of service to take over duties at Ramsey. The transfer of the Ruby Cleary is earlier than expected due to work taking place at the station ahead of a new Shannon-class lifeboat arriving in the spring. The final launch of the Ruby Cleary in Peel is at 6 p.m. Again, more coming up in update. Further afield, NATO leaders have issued a joint statement trying to show unity after the 70th anniversary summit was overshadowed by conflict between heads of state. US President Donald Trump called the Canadian Prime Minister two-faced after Justin Trudeau was caught on camera apparently gossiping about him. Former England cricket captain and commentator Bob Willis has died at the age of 70 following a long illness. He played 90 test matches during the 1970s and 80s, taking 325 wickets. And 2,500 jobs at greetings card retailer Clinton's have been saved. It follows a restructuring deal which saw the firm sold back to its existing owners. Those are the headlines. More coming up in the news at 6 o'clock.
Man Benham Advocates. Call us on 639 350 or visit manbenham.com.
27 minutes before 6 on update.
Manx Radio Weather with Manx Glass and Glazing.
The news from Ronald's Way Met Office. There's a gale warning in operation for the next 24 hours out at sea on the Isle of Man. It's going to be dry, partially cloudy through the night. The overnight minimum temperature 6 degrees Celsius. For Thursday, Jourdain. A dry start, then rain by mid-morning, clearing during the afternoon, then returning during the evening. Daytime maximum 10 degrees, but it won't feel much like that in a strong to gale force southwest wind, gusting 45 to 50 miles an hour and up to 55 miles an hour in exposed spots and across the north of the island. Down to 8 degrees Thursday into Friday. And Friday itself, Jehanyard, showery and windy with a strong to near gale force westerly, scattered blustery showers merging into longer spells of rain on Friday. All going so well, wasn't it? 11 degrees top temperature in daylight hours, down to 7 after dark. Sunset this evening was at 2 minutes to 4. Sunrise in the morning, 19 minutes past 8. The next tide around the Isle of Man, low water at 16 minutes to midnight, and the overnight high water, 3 minutes to 6 a.m.
For bespoke tabletop glass cut to measure, visit Manx Glass and Glazing in the Snugborough Trading Estate.
There's an ongoing debate ahead of a Tynwald motion next year. On Monday morning, we heard East Douglas MHK Chris Robertshaw wants the Manx Parliament to look at his proposal to allow those earning below the living wage to keep more of their own money through national insurance rebates. On Monday evening, Treasury Minister Alf Cannon branded the idea madness. Mr Robertshaw responds to the suggestion that he is slightly giddy.
His suggestion about being giddy was effectively that somehow I had a knee-jerk reaction to what was happening in the UK during the general election, where the Conservative Party is saying we're going to put up the entry threshold for national insurance payments to protect the lower paid. I think what Alf's forgotten is that I've been quietly and diligently lobbying Treasury now for 3 years to try to get them to understand the unfairness of how we treat our lowest paid people with regard to national insurance contributions.
He also said it would blow a huge hole, though, in the pension pot.
Well, that's a figment of Alf's imagination. I mean, if you look at the extraordinary figment of his imagination, I just think he's posturing, I think, to both frighten the public and frighten Timwell from looking at this matter, which is not good. He's clearly, in his interview with you, showing himself to be the custodian of the Treasury, and I absolutely respect that, and it's correct. But to suggest somehow that I'm profligate in my ambitions is just, well, anybody who knows me knows that's absolutely ludicrous. What I absolutely do believe in is that we need to address fairness for the lowest paid. When you're earning less than the living wage, which I think he sort of brushed aside, I think somewhere in the interview, and correct me if I'm wrong, there was the word or the suggestion that, oh, the so-called living wage. I mean, we all know that the living wage is a serious issue as far as Timwell's concerned. I think it's £9.70-something, and it sits a pound or more above the minimum wage, and it's declared to be, on the part of Timwell, the minimum wage that somebody should cope and live on. Now, out of that figure, in terms of tax and insurance, we are currently deducting nearly £2,000. So government's saying, look, this is the minimum that you should be expected to live on, the living wage. But by the way, we'll take near £2,000 off you. And I'm saying we need to look at this. We need to think about this. We need to ameliorate the difficulties for people on low pay, and it's a legitimate debate that we should have. And I'm very disappointed with Alf in sort of shooting from the hip and creating these arbitrary high numbers and then suggesting it's going to blow a hole in the National Insurance Fund, which is just not the case.
Manx Radio's update, powered by Manx Telecom, investing in our people and technology.
23 minutes to 6 on update. Douglas Council's handing out 2,000 trees to support the reversal of climate change and to improve how Douglas looks. Mountain ash whips up to a metre high are being distributed for free to residents and community groups who apply to the authority. Councillor Stephen Pitts, who's chair of the Regeneration and Community Committee, explained more about the giveaway to our local democracy reporter, Ewan Gorn.
2,000 small trees they are. They're mountain ash. They're from the Isle of Man, native tree, and hopefully they're going to be given to community groups and households as well, in Douglas only, Douglas residents, depending on the size of your garden, how many trees you can have or how many you actually want. So a small garden, have one, and a medium one, maybe get two, and a larger garden. And then community groups, depending on what size of land they've got, will be able to get up to 100 trees if they want to plant.
Do the council want to see more trees in the borough?
Oh, yes, yeah. Over the last few years, we've planted quite a few more in Nobles Park. It's having the area available to put the trees in and the maintenance afterwards. Anybody who does take a small whip, the trees will have to do their own maintenance afterwards. The council won't be able to do that for them.
The big plants, and they can cause big problems if you plant them in the wrong places with the roots. Are you advising people to be careful about where they plant these trees?
Yes, when they go, they can be picked up from the nursery only, and they'll get advice there as to how to plant them, where to plant them, and things to do. And also they have to bring a receptacle along to put the tree in to keep it moist, to take it away. And that's only available on a Thursday. They come up between 9 and 5 to pick your trees up. And you can apply to the council by email or phone to the Parks Department and arrange to pick a tree up.
Now, it's all part of climate change reversal. We've seen across in the UK, even with the election there, parties promising millions and millions of trees will be planted. How far do you think something like this goes towards that as a gesture from the council?
Well, it is a gesture from the council because we see these trees as the birds eating the berries and the bees pollinating, and that's what we're all about. You've seen up Douglas Head here with the wildflowers we plant, and it's all about that sort of thing. So I hope it goes a long way to help.
Sea Watch with the Isle of Man Steam Packet Company.
Here's what's happening. The Ben McCree left Heysham at 2:20 this afternoon, arriving in Douglas shortly after 6 o'clock this evening, approximately 6:10. Leaving Douglas at 7:45 this evening. Expected arrival in Heysham is at 11:30 this evening. Because the Ben McCree, the only steam packet vessel on duty, official duty at the moment, as the Mananan is laid up for the winter. Mananan resumes her seasonal services into Liverpool on March 27th, 2020, which isn't that far away. It's 4 weeks today, 2020. The first sailing of the year to Dublin is scheduled for March 28th and Belfast for April the 8th.
Sailings for 2020 are now available, with more than 900,000 special offer seats available during the year.
Beach Buddy's influence is spreading worldwide. In March of this year, Bill Dale, the man who founded Beach Buddy's on the Isle of Man, was invited by UNESCO to attend the Euromap conference, a biennial event for stakeholders from the 302 UNESCO biosphere reserves in 36 countries across Europe and America. And the conference gives people the opportunity to meet and discuss approaches on how best to manage interaction between people and nature. Whilst there, it appears Mr. Dale made quite an impression. He revealed the big news on The Man in Line on Manx Radio earlier today.
And we were separated off into groups, and I chose to be in the group which was talking about marine pollution and plastics and how to come up with some proposals as to how to resolve it. And at the end of the 2 days, I'd written something down overnight, and I gave a proposal to the group that I was with. I said, you know, what are we going to do here? Are we just going to go away and say we've had a nice time and met some nice people, and then I'll see you again in 2 years' time? Or are we actually going to do something? So I gave the proposal to them, which was that all of the biosphere nations around the world adopt what's happened in the Isle of Man, copy what Beach Buddies has done in terms of the beaches, but because biospheres are everywhere, just basically to look at the whole thing in the way that we have in terms of education and reducing plastics and campaigning by trying to get fast food outlets to get rid of polystyrene and plastics and straws and things like that. And I had to leave on the end of the second day because I had to get back to the island. And apparently on the final morning, this proposal was put to the main floor with some other proposals, and ours was mentioned but didn't get fully adopted. And I just thought the whole thing had died. Anyway, 3 weeks ago, UNESCO from London and Paris sent me a draft press release to ask me to approve it, in which my proposal was put down in writing. It mentions Beach Buddies and the Isle of Man government, and they're going to roll it out in 669 biosphere reserves in 120 countries.
How do you feel, Bill?
I had to read it several times to make sure I didn't get it wrong. I mean, this is the biggest worldwide cleanup operation ever. It is amazing. But you know what? It needs to happen.
On your template.
Yeah. But it needs to happen. I mean, it is fantastic for the Isle of Man. It's fantastic for Beach Buddies. What it is fantastic for more than anything else is the planet and the environment and wildlife and nature. That is what this is all about.
Manx Radio's business briefing, powered by Y Manx.
17 minutes to 6. Google co-founders Larry Page and Sergey Brin are stepping aside as leaders of the internet behemoth they founded 21 years ago, ending in an extraordinary run that saw them build one of the world's most valuable and influential companies. Trusted sideman Sundar Pichai, who's run the core Google search business since 2015, will immediately take the reins of the CEO of parent Alphabet. Investors cheered the Spanish oil giant Repsol's pledge to slash net carbon emissions to zero by mid-century, saying they hope it'll pile pressure on rival oil and gas companies to follow suit. The world's top oil and gas companies are under heavy pressure, not only from environmental groups, but also from institutional investors, to fall in line with targets set in the 2015 Paris Climate Agreement to limit global warming. Repsol became the first leading energy firm to commit to a net zero emission target, outdoing Royal Dutch Shell, which had set out its ambition to halve emissions by 2050.
WiMAX. Technology, communications, services. Find out more on 641199 or visit wimanx.com today. The Stock Market Report. Brought to you by Ramsey Crookall.
Global equity markets jumped, boosted by a news report from Bloomberg that said that the US and China were edging towards a trade deal. The dollar held firm above a one-month low against rivals as uncertainty about the progress of trade talks between America and China fueled demand for the greenback. Oil gained ahead of an expected extension to production curbs by OPEC and its allies. Gold shrugged off earlier gains to fall. In corporate news, the packaging business DS Smith was the standout gainer of the today ahead of its half-year results. Chilean copper miner Antofagasta and the European steelmaker Evraz were on the rise amid hopes of a Sino-American trade deal. The numbers at the close, the FTSE 100 was up 0.5% at 7,188. The DAX in Frankfurt up just over 1% at 13,140. Just after 5 o'clock, the Dow Jones in New York was up 0.75% at 27,705. The NASDAQ Tech Stocks Index up over 0.5% at 8,575. And the S&P 500 in Chicago up 0.7% at 3,144. On the exchange markets, the pound was worth $1.30.9 and €1.18.1. On the commodities market, gold was down 0.25% at $1,473 an ounce, and Brent crude up 3.5% at $63.24 a barrel.
When it comes to investing for the future and that all-important personal service, look no further than the award-winning team at Ramsey Crookall. Ramsey Crookall is the island's largest firm of stockbrokers and investment managers, and have been servicing the investment community with a broad range of services for over 70 years. For that all-important personal touch and financial expertise, contact Ramsey Crookall. Telephone 673-171. Call into Securities House, Athol Street, or visit our website, ramseycrookall.com. Ramsey Crookall are members of the London Stock Exchange and licensed by the Financial Services Authority.
Manx Radio's update with Andy Wint.
Well, it may be just across the water, but edging ever closer to what's been billed as one of the most crucial UK general elections ever. The vote takes place a week tomorrow, the 12th of December. Chris Cave from Manx Radio has been reflecting on today's events on the campaign trail.
Labour Shadow Chancellor John McDonnell has outlined his party's pledges on inequality. In a speech in the West Midlands, he said Labour's plans could save families more than £6,700 a year, although experts have questioned this figure. He reiterated measures including raising the living wage to £10 an hour and scrapping universal credit.
Nearly 10 years of Conservative and Lib Dem governments imposing austerity on our society, yes, has limited some people's ambitions for the future of our country. And it's understandable that confidence in a potential for a better future has been damaged by a Conservative political narrative that has undermined the hope that change can be brought about.
But the Tories say Labour's reckless spending pledges will mean higher bills, and last month the Institute for Fiscal Studies said they were not credible plans. Elsewhere, Lib Dem leader Joe Swinson has been confronted by Extinction Rebellion protesters in South London.
We're in active rebellion against a government which has failed to act on climate change and the climate breakdown in the face of evidence for 30 years. And we're now being asked to vote into a political system for politicians and political parties that have promised things in elections and then failed afterwards. So we're not campaigning, we're in active rebellion against the government.
Jo Swinson defended her party's policies to activists in bee costumes who said the Lib Dem plans were not ambitious enough.
Our plans that we have set out say that we think that that can be done by 2045, but we should be more ambitious and try to do it more quickly. And the other thing is, I don't think, and I imagine you would agree, that it's not only about the year at which you get to net zero, it's about how quickly we make the cuts right now.
Political parties have never ever met any of their targets. They're not doing it now, and why should we believe that you're going to do it in the future? This is just not ambitious enough. We need to go beyond what is politically possible in order to actually give the children in this youth centre an actual future.
Meanwhile, the Conservatives have promised £4.2 billion of new spending on train, bus and tram services if they win the election. The party said the cash would help fund projects outside of London. Transport Secretary Grant Shapps said it would transform services in towns and cities across the UK, but Labour have called the pledge pathetic.
Manx Radio Sport.
Again with Chris Cave.
Mastermind, good evening. Douglas Royal are looking to move clear at the top of the Isle of Man Under-18 Football League when they take on Peel at the Bowl later. They're currently level on points with St George's after four matches, with three wins and a draw. The Westerners, however, have lost two of their three matches so far, but can go third if they get maximum points tonight. Defeat would see them remain second from bottom. Kick-off at the Bowl is 6:15. Further afield, cricket pundit and former England captain Bob Willis has passed away, aged 70. He's the country's fourth highest test wicket taker of all time and was one of the stars of the 1981 Ashes series win over Australia. Willis died surrounded by his family following a long illness. His former teammate Paul Allett was with them and has spoken to Sky Sports News.
Bob was just a sweet, sweet guy. it is difficult because, you know, we were the very best of friends and we were together at the end.
Elsewhere, there's a huge night of football in England and Scotland this evening. Premier League leaders Liverpool take on struggling rivals Everton at Anfield in the Merseyside derby, while the other highlight of six games sees Jose Mourinho return to Old Trafford for the first time since he was sacked as his new club Tottenham take on Manchester United. In the Scottish Premiership, Celtic lead the table on goal difference from Rangers. They're looking for an 11th straight victory against Hamilton, while second-placed Rangers travel to third-place Aberdeen. In boxing, Anthony Joshua insists he's hungry, determined and focused to win back his world heavyweight belts on Saturday night. He takes on Andy Ruiz Jr. in a rematch in Saudi Arabia, 6 months after the Brit suffered a shock defeat in New York. And former Australia Rugby Union international Israel Folau has settled his unfair dismissal case with Rugby Australia and his club, the New South Wales Waratahs. Folau was seeking more than £7 million in compensation. He'd been sacked following homophobic social media comments. The terms of the settlement have not been disclosed.
Manx Radio Travel, driven by Auto Solutions.
Everything's fine on the roads, just the normal updates from Main Road in Colby. There are three-way traffic signals. Ren Cullen still got two-way traffic signals as well. All the information at manxradio.com and nothing on the Matrix signals tonight. Trains, planes, boats, buses and roadworks. And the promenade as well at manxradio.com. Everything's fine at the airport. Just some late departures for London City, left 10 minutes late. And Dublin, the 5:35 was slightly ahead of time. No problems reported for the departures later tonight at Edinburgh, Manchester, Liverpool and Gatwick.
Manx Radio Travel, driven by Auto Solutions, 670-145.
What does it mean to be in poverty? Currently no definition of poverty on the Isle of Man, but that could change later this month. Speaker of the House of Keys, Ewan Watterson, is chairman of the committee, explained to Sian Cowper.
Without a measurement at all, you then can't tell whether you're improving, whether you're getting worse. Also then, without the numbers that go into that, working out where the best place to start putting your money and your time and your effort into so that you actually have that right sort of strategic overview as to how you're going to tackle the problem in the first place. So that was the challenge we set ourselves. This is the first report and hopefully heading off in the right direction.
And one of the recommendations includes a partnership with GRI. Why is it important to work with the charitable sector as well?
We recognise that there are an awful lot of charities actually out there and an awful lot of them have given evidence to us and we're very grateful to them for that. They have a unique perspective. They deal with people who may not want to come to government, who may have fallen out with the system at various points. So there is a really valuable role for the third sector there. But I think we do need to be careful as to just how much we rely on it. GRI, of course, specialising in housing, and we do recognise that if you don't have a roof over your head and a meal in your belly, you've already got massive problems before you get started with the rest of the income standards and all the rest of it. We are going to have to look at this problem in terms of piece by piece, and housing is going to be one of those issues that we're really going to have to sort of unpick and find where the problems are in there.
You talked there about hunger and about housing issues as well. We've heard recently about school children going hungry. We've been hearing about the public sector housing in Lord Street being replaced. How big an issue are those two, particularly those two issues?
This is why we need a definition. This is why we need a strategy so that you can actually see that. At the moment, I don't think there's any data about how many children go away from school still feeling hungry. It was interesting to sort of to talk to my daughter about how school meals work and this morning in a way that I hadn't done before as a result of that question in Keys yesterday. So this is where I think we've fallen foul over the years. We talk about individuals maybe in the constituency case bag rather than looking at the big picture and seeing what is the big picture of poverty on the Isle of Man, how many people is it affecting, where, how, what are the sort of categories that we can put in some help and lift an awful lot of people either out of poverty or a lot closer to getting out of poverty.
We've heard about Council of Ministers doing an investigation into cold and hunger. We know public health are doing work in this area as well. Is this just a repetition of that?
Oh, absolutely not. And certainly the Select Committee isn't there to sort of tread on the toes or duplicate the work of government. We do want to make sure that they are doing the right thing in the best way with the money that we as taxpayers provide them. And that's at the core of this, making sure that the big picture's right, but we also want to be able to hold them to account for reducing the number of people in poverty.
Peel Lifeboat will leave Peel Harbour for the final time this evening after 27 years of service. Crowds of spectators, maybe you will be there to turn out to say goodbye to the vessel as she departs for the new base in Ramsey. Chairman Stuart Blackley explained everything to Manx Radio's Tim Glover.
What we've got to do is we've got to have a boat that can lie at the breakwater, and obviously Ruby Clary can't do that because apart from anything else, she's not anti-fouled. As you know, we're getting a new boat anyway, and Ramsey are getting our boat. So what they've decided to do is they're going to take our boat to Ramsey. The Ramsey boat is coming to Peel, where it'll be put on the trailer and stored as an emergency boat. And we've got a replacement boat ready on the breakwater to use.
So there will be lifeboat cover then, let's just re-emphasise that, in Peel in the interim before you get your new Shannon-class lifeboat, which is due in the spring.
That's right. The new boat is due early March. And up till then, we'll be using the cover boat, which we already have, actually. It's been up the marina for a week, and we've pulled it out of the marina now, and that's on the breakwater. So when the Ruby goes to Ramsey, we'll be using the relief boat for cover, yeah.
When something like this happens, why do you think the public feel they have to come and say goodbye? They get very attached to lifeboats here, don't they?
Yeah, they do, actually, and quite rightly so, because it's their boat. For the last 27 years, the Ruby has been part of the community. I don't know anybody that hasn't had a relation saved by it or somebody that's crewed on it. I mean, it's, I bet if you counted them all, if I counted up roughly before, it's that boat in 27 years has been out on almost 400 rescues.
Yeah.
So over the 27 years, it's a lot of crew, a lot of cocks, a lot of shore crew, tractor drivers, a lot of fundraising. There's such a lot of Peel history that will be going with that boat, and we'll be sad to see it go in one way or another, yeah.
So are you expecting a big crowd?
I don't, because it's such short notice, because the builders are starting the slipway early. We were going to try and do it at a weekend so lots of people could come down and say goodbye, but things are what they are, so we've got to do it early. But I think we will, yeah. I mean, we've notified everybody. It's on our Facebook. We've all been sharing it all over the place. So hopefully, if any...
Stuart Blackley and Tim Glover and the Ruby Clary off to Ramsey. That's it for Update tonight. Thanks to newsreader Ed Oldham, producer Sarah Hendy. I'm Andy Wintz. Have a great Wednesday. There'll be another Update, same time tomorrow night.